Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Cheaper Than Therapy, a podcast that journeys into conversations that demystify, destigmatize, and desensitize what goes on both inside the therapy room and in daily life.
I'm Vanessa Bennett.
And I'm Danae Logan.
And we are seekers, soul sisters, and holders of sacred space. Every week, we sit down for soul-provoking conversations with fellow seekers, thought leaders, change makers, and even real people during live coaching sessions as they navigate the hard work it takes to be a human.
This is Cheaper Than Therapy.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Cheaper Than Therapy. So we want to start today's conversation with an invitation for those of you who are already joining us to join us at this unbelievable love and relationship summit that Danae and I are both going to be at as speakers. We're super excited. It's called In Bloom, and it's going to be in Vancouver, Canada, April 12th through 14th. So John and I will be speaking that Friday night, and then there's a panel on Saturday that we'll be in, and then Danae is going to be doing a workshop on Sunday, and the lineup is stacked, right? So let me read you who's going to be there. So not only obviously me and Danae and John, but we've got Todd Barrett, we've got Dr. Jody Carrington, we've got Sean Galanos, who y'all know is a friend of ours, we've got Jillian Turecki, Dr. Jess O'Reilly, and then we have Mr. Gabor Mate himself, as well as Ray Mate. So it's going to be a pretty amazing weekend.
I'm literally already, Dr. Gabor Mate has like influenced much of my life and the way I move through the world. Like to be getting to do this weekend with him, I'm so fangirling out already. Totally. I'm like, Danae, you're going to have to be cool.
I could die happy. Like,
I'm so, so excited that we get to meet him and hear him speak. I think it's just going to be such a packed but deeply inspiring weekend full of content that like shifts perspectives on so many things, you know?
Yeah. So if you haven't already, you can find it in either Danae or my bio link. You can go to Real Love Ready's Instagram, who is hosting the In Bloom Summit, and get all the information for tickets there. But we really hope we see you there, because it's going to be so fun. But this is a really good lead into today's conversation, which is talking about relationships and the larger discomfort people have talking about relationships, or at least talking about, I suppose, the paradigm shift that you and I look at and talk about a lot when it comes to relationships, and the activation that that brings up for some people. Take it away, Danae.
Well, I mean, I'll take it away with the activation. Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's so funny because we've had people on the podcast that, you know, have large social media platforms and talk about the animal that is social media. And a lot of times what they'll say, and this is something like I think people should know, and you and I always, when we start retreats, say something very specific, which is pay attention to your activation instead of just like sort of, you know, pushing it away or rejecting whatever the thing is that the person is saying. Can I be curious about it? And, you know, those people I was talking about that have come on the podcast talking about like the formula around social media is it's like, it's very much like affirm people in why they are right and someone else is wrong and a narcissist, and really, you know, steer away from challenging people to take a lot of personal responsibility for themselves and the change that they can control. And, you know, I feel like we're like, no, we're not going to do that. Like, yeah, no, we reject that. Like, and I think that perspective to me is really, what is the word? It's just like minimizing of people and like our capacity for introspection and to evolve. And so,
enabling.
Yeah, like, well, and also like, it feels like, I think you're not, I don't know, like
smart enough or like
smart
have the capacity
enough to do that or yes. Yeah. Like, and I'm like, well, I just don't believe that's true of the communities that like I really resonate with. And so no, I'm not going to do that. And I think that a lot of the content that I tend to put out, because it's, you know, oftentimes from our retreats, is a lot in that realm of like you don't get to control other people and here's how you take personal responsibility and all of the things. Right. And so I posted something earlier today that was like, you know, not surprisingly, activating to a lot of people in the comments, where they were just like, yeah, that's great in theory. And yeah, you're just sort of like not being realistic about like how we need to communicate with one another. And what I was saying was basically like that thing that I always say, you know, that Ayanna Van Sant quote that I love so much, where it's, I don't get to tell you how to love me. I just get to decide if I want to participate in the way you love. And one of the comments that really struck me so much, I wanted to tell you about it, was, why is there so much confusion around love? Mm-hmm. Where is understanding? Where is commitment? Where is healthy communication? Of course, this is exempt when someone is a narcissist, but Jesus. And I was like, mm-hmm. I think that's something that comes up a lot that I hear, that it just feels like this has gotten so complicated. And why can't we go back to simpler times when it comes to love and relationships, you know?
Which to me, it's almost the opposite. Like, this actually feels much more simple. I think that simpler times, I want to ask, number one, who are we talking about? Clearly, we're not talking about for women's sake, but, you know, it's, I don't know. What I'm thinking about is how much conversation we've had, pushback we've had, or just like even in the last few years, me trying to also make sense of this new or deeper understanding, or I think the perspectives that you and I have really like worked with over the past few years and deepened our acceptance of, integration of, whatever word you want to use, this idea of like needs and whose responsibility is it? And this is the questions I get a lot too. And I was, what just came up for me, and I'll see if this feels relevant to you, is Saturday night, we had a friend's St. Patrick's Day party to go to. And, you know, it was a bunch of people, kids, adults, all the things, band. And they had, my friend had a bouncy house there for the kids, right? And so at one point, there were a lot of kids. And as a lot of us know, bouncy houses can basically turn into toddler mosh pits. And so my daughter, who's four, and our neighbor friend, who kind of is like her little big sister, who's like 9 or 10, we're both standing there, and they both were saying to me, it's getting too messy. It's getting too aggressive. It's getting too rough. And they had gotten out of the bouncy house, and my little one was kind of crying. And the older one was saying the same thing. Well, we told this kid to stop hitting, or Logan said, my daughter said, oh, I told this person to stop touching my body, right? To give me space. And they're not listening. And they were both, you know, 9, 10 years old and 4, almost like crying about how nobody was listening and it was getting too aggressive. And so I squatted down and I looked at both of them and I said, here's the thing. Y'all did the right thing. You tried to communicate what your desire was and what your need was. But the thing is that we cannot control anyone else but ourselves. So I'm glad that you used your words and you told them what you needed or wanted. But if they don't listen, then your responsibility is to remove your body from the bounce house. That's it. That's all you can do. I'm not going to go get their parents. I'm not going to yell at them for you. I'm not going to come in and calm everything down for you, right? The bottom line is you're responsible for your body and your safety and your security, and right? And so you did the right thing, which was first communicating, but then they didn't listen, right? For whatever reason. So now it's your job to remove yourself and go play, go find something else to do. And they were like a little hesitant or pushback or kind of got upset, but then I saw it kind of click, especially in my older, you know, friend's daughter. And But I felt like that was relevant because it kind of feels very similar to what we're talking about when we talk about needs. You and I are not talking about not having healthy communication. We're not talking about not sitting down and discussing, hey, when you said that thing, it hurt my feelings and here's why and here's what I've learned about myself. And maybe next time when we have a conversation like that, we could try X, Y, and Z. That's all a part of relationships. I mean, shit, you and I do that, right? And that's all we can do. We cannot control and force somebody to act a certain way, not act a certain way, say or don't say something, right? The only thing we have control over is ourselves. And yeah. I think I use that example as almost like I'm not trying to minimize the hard situations in love, but it's like if I'm giving these similar kind of lessons to my toddler, it is a similar lesson, you know?
I love that so much. But I think the biggest reason I love that is I would say like most moms wouldn't do what you did.
Totally.
They would go like intervene on behalf of their child mm-hmm. or get the other parent. And I think it's a real minimization of an opportunity to learn what I think are really important life skills, which is in life, there are going to be a ton of people whose behavior is maddening to you.
That's it.
And what are you going to do? Right? Like, we can communicate, as you said, but most of the time, what cultivates the deepest layers of suffering within us is the experience of powerlessness.
Mm-hmm.
And so we attempt to coerce or manipulate or control or dominate. And mm-hmm. that is like the biggest thing to me is like the realization of how much dominance is involved in relationships.
Yep.
Because it makes me more comfortable for you to comply with my desires, and that is in some way in service to us in our relating. Like, I just think like, and so often people will say things like, you know, that thing of like, that's great in theory or whatever. I'm like, no, I'm telling you legitimately what I see play out every single day as I sit with couples, and how's that working for you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, I just find it more maddening to continue to do the same thing over and over again yeah. with no results.
No change. Yep.
Yeah. It's like, do you just want to sit in the space of righteousness? Because real talk, most of the time that is what we want, right? Like, yeah. I just want to be right. Like, someone was saying, no, that's true. You're right. And I'm like, okay, congratulations. Mostly with your rightness. Like, I don't care. Like, I would rather have peace. Like, to your point, like, is Logan right that kid should settle down and he should like stop doing what he's doing? Sure, I'll give her that. Like,
yep.
Like, she's right. Like,
yeah.
But do you want to have peace or do you want to like coerce this kid into doing the thing? And
or
like,
dominate this kid, right? Which would be the going to get his parent or me being stepping in and being the parent. And it's like, no. And I'll tell you what, going back to what you said in the beginning, this idea of like, self-empowerment and agency, I think some might look at that as an example of how it's actually like her voice isn't being heard. And so somehow that actually takes away from her power and her agency. And I believe the exact opposite, because I actually believe that what she learned in that moment, right, is that the actual power that I have is in removing myself from the situation and not continuing to try to change it or change somebody else's behavior, because that's a disempowering place to be. What's that's empowering right. is to say, oh, okay, well, I spoke up for myself and I'm proud that I use my words, right, to say the toddler language. And now I'm going to go do crafts. I'm going to go dance to the band. I'm going to go get food, whatever. Like, that's the empowering place. I choose that for me. And like you said, peace. I'm going to leave the situation and find peace. And so I also think there's like a either confusion or maybe like an attachment to what we want to believe empowerment and agency actually is. And what I don't know if I'm explaining this correctly, or is that really just when I say confusion, it's more like victim mentality. And I'm going to hold on to that as actual agency. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, to me, where our power resides in is I decide who has access to me, period.
Yeah.
And so often, you know, we've just been so taught we're relational beings and we need one another and mm-hmm. we need to be in these partnerships. And it's like a lot of times I think what we miss is the extent to which it is a privilege to have people in your life. It is a privilege to have a partnership. It is a privilege to have someone who's interested in your needs and how you feel. And it's a privilege that not everyone has. And frankly, a gift that I don't believe we're entitled to. Now, you know, like, people come for me when I say that. And I don't think, like, I think a lot of times, and it's interesting, I was thinking about something you were saying when we started about women, and Dr. Shefali posted something that I sent to you earlier where she was saying, like, so often the strongest comments of resistance to women come from other women. And Vanessa, when I tell you, I can't even think of a time when someone's come for me in the comments and it's been a man. And like ever. And it's like we always say, like, it's we as women a lot of times have such a distortion of how these patriarchal paradigms have played out for us that I'm like, sister, I'm trying to help you. Help me help you. Like, this is actually not in service to you in the ways that you think it is. Because if we go back and look at the history of patriarchy, so much of the ways that we created these nuclear family structures was by pulling women away from women in the ways that we gathered together and shared our gifts and our intuitive powers and the celebration of our feminine. And because these masculine structures were so terrified of the power of the feminine, they ripped women away from one another, and women who would not comply, who would not be dominated, were burned alive or killed or harmed in all of these different ways. So we carry that trauma in our tissues, in our genetic code. And then it's like, oh, this is the choice that I'm making because I want to stay in this structure, in this linear way of holding that this is the only way this can be done. And it's like, are you sure that's your choice? Or is that just the choice that you've been carrying for generations because you believe this is the only way it can be done, you know?
Yeah. And I will say too, that if we're talking about like agency, even in this conversation, like I'm not even going to say that out loud, but
I'm not going to say
the quiet part out loud.
What?
Just this idea of like, I've really in the last couple of years just totally backed off, whether we're talking the social media landscape, whether we're talking personal relationships, like another example of agency is you don't have to believe what I'm saying. Nope. You don't have to do what I'm saying. No one is telling you like to do, you know, like take what works, leave what doesn't. And if this relationship works for you in this structure and in this way, you know what? Go do it. Right. And it's one of those things where it's not everyone's soul is on the same place or journey, right? Like it's not all going to look the same. We're not all coming here to do the same work. We're not. And so it's also for me to sit back and be like, that's cool. Like this is what I believe and what I have experienced and seen in my work, right? As a therapist and in my own personal journey as a woman, as a partner, as a mother. And you can take it or you can leave it, right? No one's forcing it down your throat. And I think a lot of times when I see some people who are the most activated, that to me always gives me the most like pause, because usually, like you started by saying, and in our retreats, we tell people, just look at your activation, right? Mm-hmm. There's usually information there. There's usually some like deep dive that you can do into what about this is so activating for you, right? Yeah. And also, that's not my work to do for you. Like, again, if you don't like it, keep it moving, you know?
Yeah. I think that's so you're saying the comment you didn't say was me thinks thou dost protest too much and I wonder why. I think what we have so, and listen, I'm as human and guilty of this as anyone else, but we have really lost the ability to see something that for whatever reason rubs me the wrong way. And this is like in social media, but like in general, and just say like, not for me, not my people, doesn't resonate. And that's okay. Right. Like, it's like, we have to like go for the jugular and figure out how to get other people to cancel this person. And you are wrong. And there is an ultimate truth. And I need you to like concede that you're not speaking that truth. And it's like, or I have a different philosophy about relationships than you. And I actually, as an autonomous human being, get to have that. And you get to have yours, as you're saying. So like, carry on in grace. But I said what I said, and I get to believe what I believe. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, look, even some of the things that we talk about, right? I will take them and then I have to work with them, and I'm working with them in my own relationship. And I'm like, oh shit, like walking my walk is a lot fucking harder than talking my talk. Like, I'll be the first fucking person to admit it. Please, by all means, do not sit there. If you are listening to us talk right now or you follow us on social media, sit here and think that I'm perfect in my relationship. Are you kidding me? I still, 15 years into my recovery journey, wildly struggle with codependency in my relationship. I still struggle with autonomy. I still struggle with speaking up. I still struggle. All of this is a lifelong journey, y'all. And so please hear me, especially when I say that, like, I am actively every day trying to walk my walk, and it is by no means easy.
Yeah. I think that so often what I see happens is that, like, in, you know, the most common thing people say in response to all the things is, it's just not that easy. Mm. And I don't think, well, I do think personal responsibility is easy, but, like, it's simple, but it's not easy, right?
Yeah,
like, it requires you to say, like, if I have to take 100% responsibility for my 100%, like, and I don't get to make someone the victim, and, like, I will catch myself. Like, this morning, like, my kid's dad was doing something that, like, I really didn't agree with. And, like, I was like, I could feel myself, like, rah! And I was like, big breath, Danae, because you don't get to control him. So if you can't control what he's going to do about this situation, what can you do differently to ensure your child's safety, right? Like, because that's why the activation is so big, right? And it's like, when we get to the place of, like, shifting our mind around, like, what is within my control versus how am I going to control this person? I circled back, spoke to him about, like, you know what? No problem. Here's what I'll do. Right. And then all of a sudden, the result, like, the outcome that I wanted, he was like, no, it's fine. I'll do whatever. But it's like that thing of, like, grasping on to something. It's like, what we're resisting will inevitably persist. And the more that we attempt to control another person, it's just the way human animals are built. We don't want to be controlled. We want to feel like we are free to make decisions for ourselves. And so it's like, just stop, like, in the persistent need to control this. The minute you let go, I promise, like, it works itself out. But we're just, like, unwilling to believe it, you know?
Well, we're unwilling to believe it. And also, it's a trauma response. Like, as the resident overfunctioner here, like, if I don't have control or an idea in my mind that I have control, which isn't even necessarily, I literally feel like I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. Like, the world is going to crumble around me. Like, that is no joke. Like, that visceral, deeply felt fear, like, you know it as a mother, right? It is something that comes up that is not part of our logical brain at all. You know, we can sit with it, and that higher self can come back online once the activation has passed, and we can be like, all right, you know, I don't have control over this, or I need to pay attention to how I'm responding. And we can do these more kind of questioning techniques. But yeah, in those moments of activation, I mean, it is a very primal response. And I think for those of us who have that, like, that controlling kind of overfunctioning aspect to, like, the way that we deal with anxiety, it's like that extra layer that gets added onto it, you know? I was just saying not that long ago to this woman that John and I work with as, like, a couples coach, intimacy coach. And I have been having some really huge breakthroughs the last couple weeks in my relationship, and realizing that what is coming up and the activation around it is, I, again, going to that overfunctioner, like, my whole life has been spent as the one that's constantly scanning for danger. My whole life has been spent as the one that needs to make sure everyone is safe and taken care of. And it's usually to the detriment of myself, right? And my peace and my happiness. And I have had such a revelation the last couple of weeks of, like, just how deep that goes and how much of my relational behavior is stemming from that place, right? And from that trauma point. And so, has it been scary, and have I cried a lot? Yeah. And also, it's been a big blessing for me to have this realization, because now I have something else to work with. Like, I have a point in which I can go deeper into that work. So I guess I say that also to let people know, like, the reflex, the anxiety fueled reflex to control you don't have to beat yourself up for that, but you do still have to take accountability for it and start to work with it and look at it, right? Like two things can be true. Give yourself grace and step up and take ownership, right? And do the work around it.
Yeah, that was like one of the biggest phrases that was repeated consistently at that trauma conference that I just came from was that like, none of this is your fault, but it is your responsibility. Mm-hmm. Like you exactly. cannot continuously be in the space of what ends up being further. A lot of times I will say like
more trauma,
harm and damage to the people. And, you know, like certainly like if we use parenting as an example, I am activated. I am afraid. I am anxious and I need to control my child as a way of self-soothing my trauma response, causing further trauma to this child, right? And so it becomes like, of course, as you're saying, like we have to give our inner child all the grace and all of the compassion we can possibly muster. And the larger and is like, I've got to do my work now around like really taking responsibility for cultivating the tools for like what is within my control, which is always going to be me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would say maybe as like a takeaway for everyone listening, you know, really pull back and look at the ways, not just in your romantic relationships, but all of your relationships, the ways in which when you feel scared or anxious, the ways in which you try to control, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's the environment, whether it's the people, whether it's
a random person on social media.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally. Like, where do you use control as a self-soothing technique, right? And if you can get really familiar with that as like the thing that I do, it's like, that's my drug, right? Just like you and I always talk about when it comes to addictions. It's like, we all have a myriad of ways in which we try to self-soothe. And so if control is one of your drugs, which I know it is for me, you have to get in relationship with that addiction, right? We've got to pay attention to it. We've got to notice the patterns and the trigger points. We've got to notice what happens in our body from a sensation level, the before the activation, the during the activation, the after I've done the thing that's the addiction. So in this, you know, specific area control. And so be the anthropologist of yourself, you know, get into a space of just paying the fuck attention. Like that is it. That's the biggest thing. Stop trying to defend against it and just say, you know what? I'm going to be curious for the next 2 weeks. I'm just going to be curious about my relationship to control and see where it goes.
Yeah. It's so funny how like resistant we can even be to the idea that we are attempting to control. And I think that is when you're like, no, you're like, when I feel myself like wanting to control and I'm like, oh shoot, I'm trying to control it. It's like, okay, but at least I see it. I see what I'm doing. I acknowledge it. That's like, it's growth. Right.
I know.
And when you start deleting the text messages, you're like, no good can come from that.
And when you're on the receiving end and you see the bubbles lasting for a really long time, and then suddenly the response is just okay. And you're like, oh, I know what just happened.
She was meant to cuss me out and she changed her mind.
She pulled it back. Good job.
That's growth, people.
That is growth.
Yay, us.
Yeah, yes. Well, for anybody listening, though, I would like to say DM us and just let us know. I would be curious to know some of the practices around control, because this might be something that we can kind of further talk about on the show and, you know, just roll around it more, because, again, talking the talk and walking the walk are two different things. So I'm always curious when people say, you know what? I tried that thing that you guys talked about and whew, it was hard. And let me tell you what happened, right? So please like send me a DM. I'm always curious. Maybe we can bring it into another conversation.
Yeah. And hopefully y'all will come hang out with us in Vancouver, because it's going to be a party.
Party.
We'd love to see you.
All right, y'all. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Cheaper Than Therapy.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to share it with a friend, subscribe, and give us a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And if you want to connect with us more, find us on Instagram at Cheaper Than Therapy, the podcast.
Hey,
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.